remember it's the same one who numbers the stars and calls them by name, who can heal your heart.
Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He is wise, he's powerful, and he calls us to put our faith in him. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today about the search for security. Where in this world can you and I find security? Do you know any safe place? Sometimes young couples who are planning to go to the mission field come to me and say, "We feel called by God to go to a foreign field, but we have children. Is it fair to take them into a risky place?" My answer to them is, if this is where God wants you, this is where God wants your children. And the consequences of your obedience are really not your business, they're God's business. He's the one who takes you there, and he is the one who will keep you. Never worry about safety. Never worry about your own personal safety or security, as long as you know that you're being obedient to God. Are you in the place God intends you to be? I may be talking to somebody today who's in a wrong relationship, and you know it's wrong. Can you expect security in that place? Can you expect God's protection and blessing? The world thinks of securities in terms of bank accounts, investments, stocks, locks, security officers, alarms, bulletproof vests, and insurance. Is that where your security lies? I read to you yesterday part of a letter from a girl desperate for a man. A man, to her, was the answer to her dreams of security and happiness. And she said in her letter, "Why isn't God answering my prayers? I know these are not wrong desires." God is not necessarily telling you that your desires are wrong. They simply may be desires that God does not want to fulfill because he has something different in mind, something ultimately much better than what you have in mind. So my question to her would be, they may not be wrong desires, but have you laid them humbly and trustingly before God? Do you believe that he would withhold from you something that would be best for you? He has promised that he won't. Psalm 84:11 says, "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Do you believe he loves you? If you don't, what do you believe in? This girl says in her letter, "I feel so left out, so abandoned. My parents don't understand my pain. Nobody can help me understand it. I feel as though there's a carrot being dangled in my face and someone saying, 'Look at that beautiful carrot. Sorry, you can't have it.'" But the passage in the Song of Solomon that says, "Do not awaken love until it so desires," is helping me to wait a little longer. I never really quite understand that verse, but now I'm beginning to think that it is comforting, and I really want to wait on the Lord's will. Now just get this, the next statement in her letter, having said, "I really want to wait on the Lord's will," "I just want it to be God's will now." And she does put a little smiley face after that word "now." And I'm sure that you and I know what she means there. How often we say that we want his will, we think his will is best for us, but we're hoping against hope that God's will matches ours. She says, "I feel like I've been waiting forever and a day. I feel like my life is on stop. I have a degree I don't know what to do with. I'm living at home, which I greatly appreciate, working at a temporary do-nothing job. I have one friend left here, and she's getting married, and I haven't met any new men, nor have any hope of meeting any, unless I go to a bar. Ha! That's the last place I'd want to meet anyone." This can't be what my life is going to be like from now on. But what if it is? Can't you just hear the plaintive tone of voice in which this poor girl is crying out? If God has someone for me, he will bring him in his own perfect timing. Well, that sounds like a word of trust, doesn't it? I wish my desires would correspond with God's, but I want to be pure and true, and I suppose God is trying to make me so. Well, I would suppose, dear girl, that you're absolutely right about that, because God is always in the business of trying to make us pure and holy, pure and true, true men, true women. The deadlock, we might call it, is that he wants to give us the best, and we don't want to take it. We want our idea, which is second best. In Psalm 147, there are good reasons for finding security in God. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. If there's anyone listening to me who is brokenhearted today, anyone wounded who needs a binding up, remember it's the same one who numbers the stars and calls them by name, who can heal your heart. God can heal your broken heart if you'll give him all the pieces. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. That's the only place that I know of that is truly secure, the unfailing love of God. But he asks you to put your hope there. And that simple word, put, is an active verb, isn't it? It means that you must choose to put your hope there. It's not a feeling. It is an act of faith. The Lord delights in those who fear him and who put their hope in his unfailing love. And I'm here to testify that his love never does fail. Linda, my producer, and I had lunch today with my sister-in-law, Loveless, and her mother. And Loveless said to me, as we were getting a cup of tea over by the counter, she said, "You know, I had prayed for such and such a thing, and the Lord gave me something even better." She said, "So often we don't ask." And I reminded her, a verse that she knew very well, "You have not because you ask not." And the Lord is so far better than our imaginings. We ask sometimes very small things, and he gives us very big ones. And she told me of what she had been praying for and how God had answered beyond what she had asked. Well, back to the letter from this desperate girl. "It's like there are two people living inside me, one who understands that she must wait and one that doesn't understand and is hurt and confused." Well, we talked in the last couple of weeks about those two selves, and this girl is experiencing the conflict between those two selves. I would like to share with you something I wrote on December 17th. It's a good description of what I feel. "Keeper of my soul, wilt thou deny me the one small desire of my heart, to love and be loved? Is that too large a treasure to ask? I look about and see others enjoying love to the full, but not I. I sit alone on a hill that none would climb, nor could I descend. I'm separated from life, life as I would like. From whence comes the hill, and why must I sit in torture and dismay? as I watch my dreams played out before me. Poor girl, she says, is that too large a treasure to ask? And I would like to say to her, is it too large a treasure to offer? Whatever that unfulfilled thing is that you've been praying about, how about just letting go of it, offering it over to the Lord and just saying, Lord, you know what's best for me far better than I do, so I surrender to you this my desire, good though it may look to me. And Lord, I will wait and trust you for what you know is best for me. That is a place of security. And I do believe that that kind of a surrender will bring you peace. Someone is listening to me today, I'm sure, who's feeling very insecure because he or she has lost a job. Somebody else has lost a friend on whom you depended. Someone's health is very fragile, and you're scared to death about that next visit to the doctor. Somebody has made a mess of things and has no self-confidence, or you've suffered a huge loss of money. Your business has evaporated. Your mortgage has foreclosed. Your investments failed. This is God's call to you, His wooing you to Himself, to try His promises, and to find peace in the storm. I call on you to prove the truth of God's faithfulness. Read Psalm 147. Praise Him. Give thanks. There are many kinds of calls, but they're all for the same reason, that we will come to Him, learn to know Him, and find our peace in the midst of our storm.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.